I can tell that God is moving in your midst. You don't have to be in a church very long to find whether the Spirit of God moves or whether he has been shut out. And I appreciate the sweet spirit this morning, especially through the singing. I know that you are in a hard time right now, and I will be conscious of that. Of course, I will also, first of all, be conscious of what God would ask me to say. I don't know if I've ever heard a pastor say that he's not concerned that you do more neck this year than last year. I don't know if I've ever heard that. I appreciate that. You know, we've institutionalized our Christianity to where we think it's a business, and every business has to grow and make more money. That's not always how God works. He's God, and he knows who we are, he knows what we need, he knows where we're at, and his primary interest is in us knowing him. Because if we know him, he changes us. The more we know him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we serve him. The more we serve him, the more he gets glory and honor. But it begins with knowing him. And so how do we know how much we should give? I loved how Brother Ryan's put it. You can trust that what God asks you to give is from God, and he will give it to you to give. I love that. But the first question is, have you heard God's voice on what you should give? We may talk about it later this week, we may not, but Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And we should always be consistently asking ourselves, have I heard his voice? Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. And if we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Then we should first of all say, God, I need you to teach me how to hear your voice. It can sound a little bit spooky to some people sometimes, but it shouldn't, because it was very clear. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We all have, but maybe it's been a while. So this morning, the first thing I want to do is I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want us to simply ask God, if he would speak to our hearts this morning, let his still small voice speak to us through the message, through the preaching of the Word of God. Would you do that now? Father in heaven, holy is your name. You are high and lifted up. Your ways are higher than ours, and your thoughts are higher than ours. Truly, we cannot ever fully grasp you, or you wouldn't be God. But we are thankful that through your word, through your people, through your providence, through your testimony, through your experience, through the experiences we have in our life of you, we can gain wisdom in this world. To walk as you walked, to see others as you saw them, to work greater works than Jesus did when he was here. Not because they are our works, Father, but because they are your works, and we can walk in them. We ask this morning that you'd help us to hear your voice. In this scripture, in this time, in this sorrowful time, in this hurting time, but yet, Father, knowing that our departed brother is enjoying himself as never before. We are thankful that you've given us the promise that precious in your sight is the death of your saints. It's sorrowful for us, but thank you that our brother is well and better than ever before. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth into the hearts and lives of your people. I bind Satan and his forces from their hearts and their minds. And Father, I ask that those who have ears to hear would hear your words. Father, I am a man from this earth, and I would of myself speak that which would be of this earth, but I ask that you'd help my heart and my mind and my tongue to be guided and yielded to, by you and yielded to you, that your people would not hear from this earth this morning, but that they would hear from heaven. For Father, we, in this time, in this world, we don't need religion. We don't need to hear man. We need to hear from you. For you have all the answers, and you are prepared. You have been working on this time from the beginning of time. So we put ourselves in your hands this morning. Take our passion, our will, and our mind and our hearts, and as we yield them to you, fashion us closer to your image for your purposes. Father, not for my name's sake as the preacher, for Father, what do I have, as your word says, that has not been given to me from you? But Father, for the sake of the Son of Jesus, your Son Jesus Christ, that he might be lifted up and that men would be drawn to him. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Before we get into the message, Brother Ryan's asked if I would give you a little bit about ourselves. We spent approximately 10 years in Ghana, West Africa, as missionaries there. We spent about three and a half years, helping a group from First Baptist in Hammond, Indiana, get a mission started. So we did that for about 3.5 years. Then God moves us to Europe, and we went to Germany for a couple of years there, and we took a church there, and God is, we're still connected with that work, and maybe some point we can tell more about that. Right now, there's a man when I took the church in Germany that was a member of the church, and he became my assistant pastor, and now then he came to the States some years later when we were back in Ghana again, and now he is a missionary through our mission GEMS in Germany. And him and his wife, they're actually from Cameroon, and they're now in Germany doing mission work there. They just arrived there a couple weeks ago. They had their house packed and ready to go when Germany shut down with COVID, and they had to call the movers and tell them to cancel the container and unpack their house twice. but God used them while they were here, and of course, you know, if there's one thing that God has been teaching me, Pastor, more in the last few months that I am so convinced of, is that God is sovereign. And that even though he has to deal with us free will human beings that are very sometimes stubborn and prideful and definitely sinful, he orchestrates his divine plan even so. And we can put our trust in him that he knows what's going on, he's in control. And if we just yield everything to him, he's got a plan. And I'll tell you what that plan is. That plan is the redemption of man. Everything he does man might be redeemed. If we look at the Bible, it's not a book about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's a book about the redemption of man. And God included them in his plan for the redemption of man. And he gives them to us as an example so that we could know how we could be involved in his plan for the redemption of man. And the more we understand his word and his principles, the greater we can be involved, because he can free us from the things of this world and plug us into his plan and use us for his honor and glory, just as he did these people who were subject to like passions as we are. If there's anything I would tell the young people in this room, it's when you read the awesome stories in the Word of God, they should be awesome to you and they should be heroes in the Word of God, but don't ever put them up on a pedestal so high that you think you can't attain those things. I think that's what we often do. We hear the stories of David and Goliath, and we hear these great stories of the apostles, and we hear the great stories of men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we somehow put them on a supernatural level that is not attainable today. That's not how God works. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God used men to accomplish great feats for him in the past, he can use them today. If God used the apostles to evangelize the world in the past, he can use us to evangelize the world today. He doesn't change. In fact, I won't get into a theological discussion on the book of Acts at this moment, but this is a challenge that I make to people. Before you tell us that the book of Acts, those things that happened were just for that period of time, let us see if we can be as yielded to God as they were and see what God does now. I mean, Brother Rines, would we, I'm saying you and I, and I've asked myself this question many times, would we be involved in a great revival and God says, go to the desert where you don't know where you're going and just say, yeah, it must be God's will that I walk out of this great revival. But Philip went and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Total yieldedness. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. When we're yielded to God, God gives us the earth, meaning the lost around the world for his glory. And he wants to do that. I'm preaching now instead of telling you my testimony. Amen. So we went to Germany, and Brother Patrick's over there in Germany. My wife always says, you go on rabbit trails. And I'm like, I know, I love hunting though, you know. So anybody just shoot that rabbit and I'll move on, okay? Patrick's over there. God is, he's there now. Him and his wife have been there for a few months. God is using them greatly already. This may not sound significant. It's been a few weeks since I talked to Patrick, but he had been there about a month and a half, and he had won 5 Germans to Christ. Now, Germans, they're not easy to win to Christ. They're very logical people. I don't know if anybody's German here. I am too, so don't worry about it, okay? My grandmother is German, but they're very logical people. They don't make emotional decisions. And they're going to know exactly what they're doing before they get into it. When we were in Germany before, Brother Rines, it was often the goal to convince somebody there was a God. Or if there was a God, to convince them that there was something, you know, there's something how he can apply to our lives today. Oh, well, maybe I believe in a God. Brother Patrick's telling me that 1 out of 10 of every German he speaks to today, they ask him about the problem of sin in their life. Obviously referring to the fact that there's a God and that they have transgressed his law. God is moving. He's already training a couple young men for the ministry. That's a miracle how God has worked that out. Him and his wife been going to university and trying to, I went with Brother Patrick in the past to the same university where God is opening the doors there. They're looking to have a meeting every week now with the university students. They went and talked to some of the students, and the students were willing to miss their next class because they didn't want to stop talking to Patrick Christel. So God is moving. Why? Because Brother Patrick was yielded to him. He said, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? Let me give you an idea of where Brother Patrick and his wife came from. When we went to Germany, him and his wife were both engineers for Siemens. They came from Cameroon. And I know the African culture, their families sacrificed for the whole purpose of getting them to the university in Europe so that they could get a good job and make money and send money home. Brother Patrick and Ms. Christel resigned their jobs and are now serving Jesus by faith. They don't even have a set amount of money coming in per month that you have to go to the mission field. They went when God said to go. Why is God doing what he's doing? Because they just yielded to him. What you want, when you want, where you want it, God will go. And God is doing great work through them. So we're thankful for that. God also, we still have the ministry in Ghana, West Africa. So we went from Germany back to West Africa. We went this time to the villages. And we started a ministry, several churches around a lake called Lake Bosumtwi. We have 4 churches there now. And those churches are, some of them are totally run by the national pastors now that have been put, that we have ordained over those churches. Some of them are still in that process In fact, we sent some missionaries there to help us continue that process. God willing, in the near future, one of the young men that God has been raising up will be placed in another one of the churches. There's four. Two of them have pastors. One of them's in training, and the newest one is in that beginning stage. Now, we may say, these are the hard questions I had to answer. Why would we leave those churches in those conditions? They don't have a pastor and you left? Well, if we look through the book of Acts, that's exactly what Paul did. Every church, Brother Ryan, that we started, God moved us out within the first year of that church for at least a few months, and that church was tested. And God raised up people. And God raises up somebody, and you ordain them. In fact, one of my pastors, this is Pastor Nicholas, and the church we started in 2014, Pastor Nicholas, we were training him, we were working with him. I knew that he was somebody that God said we need to put more investment into, and he was getting more and more involved in the church. And here's what happened. One Sunday morning, as Brother Nicholas led the singing, powerfully used of God in singing, and the Spirit of God would always move when he led the singing. One Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, Brother Rines, he said, let Nicholas preach. And I started asking all these questions. Why? You know, this can't be, this must be me thinking this. This can't be from God. I began to ask all those questions. And I tried to push out the Spirit of God and his bidding. I got up to preach. I had to preach with a translator. The translator looked at me with a horrified face and said, Pastor, I am so sick. I've got to go. Walked out. Well, I had one option left. I said, Brother Nicholas, you want to preach for us this morning? Brother Nicholas jumped up and said, sure. He opened his Bible. He had an outline ready. God had given him a message. And I watched as God's Spirit moved through that building. And the people were focused on him like I had never seen them focused when I preached. And I said, God, I understand. You are showing me this is your man for your time. And God is doing a great work through him. So we have the churches there. We go back as we can. That missionary family that was there for 3 years is now back in the States. So we are right now asking God how to go forward with that. But God willing, this summer we'll be there for some time. We're praying about that time frame right now also. We will, God willing, be taking a missions trip with some young people that want to spend some time over in Ghana, West Africa. We'll be teaching and training them there in Ghana, West Africa, with the village churches, and then we're sending them, they'll be going from there with Pastor Aaron McCullough and going to Sierra Leone and to the interior. If you know Brother McCullough, I was scared for those young kids. So I said, Brother McCullough, let us train them, and then we'll send them with you. No, Brother, we just had Brother McCullough at our missions conference in Memphis. He's become a great friend of mine. In fact, we just came back from the Congo, so that's another old door that God has opened recently. We went to the Congo a couple months ago, Brother Aaron and I, and my oldest son, Grant, who's 19. We went to the Congo, and I won't take time this morning to tell you all that God did there and opened the doors, but we have been invited to be as much of a part as we want in helping 30 independent Baptist churches there with a Bible college and men that are starting churches in even in remote areas now that want help training and furthering the gospel there. So what we do now is we just go wherever God sends us, whenever he sends us. And I can't explain it except for that as we walk the path that God has asked us to walk, he has opened more and more doors and given me a different kind of a ministry than I initially had. Now, instead of going and being there in the villages and so forth, he's helping me to prepare and train young people to send them, and also to go to places working with nationals and already established works and trying to encourage them to start works in other places also. When we were in Congo, God opened the door for us to partner with a man that is going into the interior, a Congolese man, that is also trying to do a work among the unreached pygmy tribes in Congo, something that my son and I have been praying about for several years. And God opened this door. My wife said before we left, she said, I don't think you guys will end up in the jungle this time, because we were going to the city. She said, but I think maybe God will put you across the path of the person that will lead to that in the future, because we've been praying for 3 years. We had even gone through special missionary training to prepare ourselves with medical and survival understanding to go to the jungle. And couple days before we left, without our even saying a word to anybody about the Pygmy people, we met this man, Paul, who told us that God had put on his heart to reach the Pygmy people. And my son and I gave each other high fives, and we jumped up and down, and we thanked God for what God can do. You know, it's God's work. God is far more interested in the redemption of man than we are. Because we get selfish. We get tunnel visioned. Or we get sidetracked. That's what God's all about. From the moment that Adam sinned, well, the Bible says the Lamb was slain from the foundation. But God has been about redeeming man. And we can be a part. So that's what our family does. But let's get into the message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. And as soon as I find it, I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Preacher mentioned this earlier. Thought it was awesome how God tied it all in. How that in that church, the church of Philippi, this is who he's speaking of here. The grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want to preach this morning a message titled, Give Yourself First. Give yourself first. Father in heaven, once again we come to you. I've prayed already, but Father, we just ask that you would open our hearts to know what you would want from us. For Father, you are working around this world in many places, in many ways. You always have been, you always will be. Your desire for us is simply that we might see your work and get involved in your work. As your son said, that he saw where you worked, and he did not do his own work, but he did your works. And we ask that you'd help us to do the same where our Savior is working today. But Father, we know that before we can do that, we must come to the place where we give ourselves to you fully. And so we ask this morning that you would search us and try our hearts and know our thoughts. And any place in our hearts and our lives that needs to be given over to you, we ask that you would do it. Give us that strength to give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We see that in the churches of Macedonia, sorry, I have a little bit of a cough. I promise it is not COVID. I've had it for months, a little bit here and there. It's something, there's some kind of an allergy. If I go up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it goes away. And that's because that's heaven. Amen. Well, not quite, but it's paradise anyway. But anytime I get any further south than Detroit, yeah, I start getting this cough. I went to Congo with it, and I got tested, and everything's okay. I'm just letting you know, okay? We see that the churches of Macedonia, especially the church in Philippi, did great things for missions. They helped Paul in an amazing, powerful way. They did something that was beyond themselves. Paul testified. He said, this is something I am, he said, I bear record. They did beyond their power. What was he saying? They did something that was supernatural. And you and I, that's what I was saying to all of us, but especially the young people today, you and I are equipped as the children of God. We have everything we need to do that which is supernatural. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that we are partakers of the divine nature through his promises. We hear all these things in this day and age in which we live, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I know that a lot of young people do, but there's all this stuff about the superheroes and whatever. But let me tell you, my friend, that God today, through those who have believed in his promises, has true superheroes, and that is you and I, that can have a part of his divine nature, and we can do things that is beyond normal for humanity. And that's what this church in Macedonia did, especially the church in Philippi. Paul says later, he says, hey, to the church of Philippi, you are the only ones that was giving to me during this certain period of time. And God is going to supply all your needs because you supplied my needs. In fact, Paul said, I was instructed, if you read it, it says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. What does that mean? God instructed Paul to be in need. Why? So that the church of Philippi could do something beyond themselves, so that God could be glorified. Sometimes the needs that we have, God may be instructing us to have a need. Because God wants to bless somebody when they give as God asks, so that he can be glorified. Paul said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I am instructed both to abound and I'm instructed to suffer need. So God, it was God saying to Paul, I hope you enjoyed that time of plenty because I am telling you, you're going to have a need now. Why? Because I need somebody to fill that need because I need to take care of them. But there's a scriptural principle that you give it and it shall be given unto you. God never gives to us until we have first done what we have to do. And God says, I need to help that church. They're in deep poverty, but I want to help them get out of that deep poverty. So, Paul, I'm going to make you have needs so that they can give to you. Sometimes we must understand that God may put us in need because he needs others to fulfill that need to help them. That's a difficult thing for us Americans, isn't it? I know it was for me. From the time I was 10 years old, I was mowing yards, making money. By the time I was 13 or 14, my parents didn't take care of anything for me after that. I bought my own clothes. I bought my own vehicles. I paid my own insurance. I did everything. Now, if you ask my dad, he'd probably tell you that's not true, but that's my viewpoint of it. When it came time to go on deputation, I did not want to go to churches and stand up and say, hey, here I am. It bothered me. But it's because I was immature and didn't understand how God works. God often puts people in need so that when you feel that need, he can take care of your needs. God may put you in need. And as an American, I say American because this is very common in America. It's not as common in other cultures. We Americans tend to be very independent compared to other cultures. It's not a bad thing. I think it happened because as America expanded west, people had to become independent to live out and all by themselves, and they took care of themselves and et cetera. Most cultures are not that way. Most cultures are very either family-oriented or town-oriented, and everybody takes care of each other. But as an American, that's hard for us sometimes because when God puts us in a need, we feel like we got to go out and make things happen because we're in need. That might be the case, but it might not. We need to go to God and say, God, why are you doing this? And God will let us know. I think it is very important that God shows us concerning this church what they did before they took upon themselves the fellowshipping of the ministering to the saints. Before this church in Philippi ever came to Paul and said, Paul, we want to supply your need. Before this church, Victory Baptist Church, ever says, we want to have X amount of dollars, which I'm thankful your pastor has not said that for missions, we have to come to ourselves and say, what was the true formula in this passage? And what God, the Bible says about the church at Philippi was that before they ever gave out of their poverty that abounded to the liberality, before they ever did something that was beyond themselves, Paul said they first gave themselves to God. Before you and I can ever give to missions what God would want us to give, we must first give ourselves. Before you and I in great trials of affliction can abound unto joy and deep poverty, abound unto joy through the riches of our liberality, we must first give ourselves to God. Before we can ever entreat somebody to take upon them the fellowshipping of men. The Bible says of Paul that they entreated him. It was like they said, Paul, please let us give to you. We want to be with you. We want to give to you. In fact, just recently, Brother McCullough was at the church in Memphis, and he was telling everybody the mission work that's going on in Sierra Leone and Liberia, and now he went with me to the Congo. And somebody said, he's still pastoring in New Jersey, and if somebody said, what about supporting you? And he said, I don't want support. And I said, brother, the people of God need to go support you for this. They need to fellowship in the ministering to the saints. And if God puts it on their heart, there's a reason. Because it's not natural for us as human beings to say, hey, I want to give money to somebody. Naturally, it's like, it's Christmas time, right? Put it back in the pockets. Yeah, that's how we are as human beings. We as human beings, I'm sorry, I probably should be carrying this around. Can you hear me okay? Is that going to affect anything? I'm afraid I might throw it at somebody if I get mad. No, I'm on mute. I was okay. Ooh, yeah, now I'm really okay. It's not natural for us. So when they were saying to Paul, we are entreating you to take this, we want to minister with you. You are going and you are doing God's work, and we're begging you, Paul, take some money with us and go. From us and go. How were they able to get to that state of mind? How were they able to get to the place where they were doing something so far beyond themselves? And they were begging Paul to have a part in his ministry. Because before that, they had given themselves to God. And when we can get to the place where we have given everything of who we and what we are to God, there is nothing that God can ask that we won't be willing to let go of. But as long as there's a place in our heart, in our mind, that we are holding on to, there will be some things and times when God asks that we won't let go. So the question this morning, before we get into, missions conference, everybody expects we're going to come and we're going to try to raise money. My priority here this week is not first to raise money. My priority is for us to say, God, we're yours. God, everything I have is yours. Let's look at a few places this morning that we can give to God. Number one this morning, I want to say, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. And let's give ourselves to God in this way. We need to give God our condition. There may be some in this room this morning, there may be somebody this morning that may need to give your condition to God. And what I mean by that is that in John chapter 9, we find that there is a man that is blind. We find a man that was born blind. And this man that was born blind, Jesus came and he healed them. And the disciples said, Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his parents? Was there something that he did? What was wrong? Why was this man born blind? And Jesus said, nobody did wrong. This man was born blind so that you would know who I am. I'm paraphrasing that. That the works of God might be made manifest in him. Sometimes God gives us conditions. Not because anything's wrong, but because he wants us to use our condition to magnify him. Truly, it means he trusts us when he gives us a condition. He trusts us that we will bring him glory and honor. Jesus said, that man didn't do wrong. Before the beginning of time, I knew that Jesus, my son, would be walking there. And I would know that people need to know who he is. And so I let this man be born blind so that I could heal him. And we could say, well, isn't that, man, that sounds so terrible and that sounds so cruel and that sounds so, I promise you, when that man was healed, he did not care about those years he was blind. He glorified God. Some of us in this room this morning need to give our condition to God. Whatever condition you're in physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you just need to say, God, it's yours. I give it to you. I've been holding on. I've been bitter. I've been complaining. I've been accusing you. I give it to you. Before we can ever think about reaching the world, we've got to give our condition to God. Say, God, it's yours. I just ask that you will give me what I need to bring you glory and honor. Number one, give your condition to God. Number two, give your position to God. Give your position to God. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7 says, for promotion cometh not neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. Often in our lives, we come to these places where we look around us and we look with human eyes and we begin to decide with human eyes and a critical tongue or a critical spirit. We begin to decide whether our position in life is just and fair or not. And we need, as Christians, to say, you know what? As a Christian, I have to trust that the sovereign Lord in my life knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly who I am. He knows exactly his purpose and plan that he wants to involve, how he wants to involve me in his plan. And I'm trusting that my position right now, today, is ordained by Almighty God. That's not easy. I'll be the first one to admit there have been many times in my life that I say, God, what in the world? And we began to compare ourselves among ourselves, and God says, we're not wise. Joseph, in his position in the dungeon, had to yield that to God, who had the plan all along of exalting him. But had Joseph gotten bitter, where would his brethren have been? God put him there to save many alive, the Bible says. But what if he had gotten bitter and said, God, it's not fair. I was the one who lived righteously. I was the one that honored my father. I was the one who you spoke to in visions. I was. It's not fair that I'm here, my brethren aren't. If Joseph would have done that, and I am not saying he didn't at all, because he was subject to like passions as we are, but if he hadn't yielded himself with to get that right spirit so that when the time came that he could be what God needed him to be, then where would those who God intended to be saved through him? In effect, where would we be? For that was the nation of Israel, from whom would come the Messiah, from whom would come the gospel, that the Gentiles might also believe. We just have to give our position to God. It may be at, well, I don't know why God asked me to preach this message. I know he did. It has been confirmed to me several times, even this morning, when your preacher mentioned a couple of things in the song this morning about believing God. Even if we're going through the fire, even if he doesn't save us, we have to believe in God. God put all that together for a purpose, and I believe because there's some of us in this room this morning that we've got to give our condition to God and we've got to give our position to God. It may be at work that you feel like it's not just, it's not fair. You work harder, you're more honest, you're more right, and yet you are not given what is just and due to you. And you know what? It could be because you're a Christian. The Bible says that all that live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. In fact, there was a group of Chinese people that a preacher from America went over to visit, and he met these Chinese Christians, and they began to tell him all the things, and joyfully and gleefully, about how they'd been persecuted for their faith. And then they looked at the preacher, and they said, "So tell us your stories of how you've been persecuted." And he said, "Well, that doesn't happen like that in America. I have never been persecuted." And they looked at him and said, "Then you must not be godly. For the Bible says that all that live godly shall suffer persecution." It may be that there's something happening in your position. Give it to God. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And everything, I promise you this morning, that everything God does, he does in love. For God is love. Think about it this way this morning, that every attribute of God is inside of his love. We often say God is love and God is mercy and God is grace. No, God is love, and because he's loving, he has mercy. God is love, and because he's loving, he is just and he has justice. God is loving and he is just, and because his love, he is righteous and he's holy. Everything, all the attributes of God are wrapped up in his love, and everything he does works all things together for good. Even if somebody else is promoted instead of you, God's doing that in love for some reason. You know, he may be keeping you from what could harm you. Brother Ryans, how many preachers we know that were lifted up prematurely in their life and they fell because they were not prepared spiritually to be lifted up? Sometimes God keeps us in places because he knows it's what's best for us. And if we seek him, he will do what's best for us, always. Give him your condition. Give him your position. Number three, give him your humiliation. Give him your humiliation. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34 talks about it. And we're talking about Joseph. We already mentioned Joseph. Joseph was humiliated. Let's turn there. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong Joseph. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Turn there with me quickly. I am hurrying, and I don't know what time you normally finish, but in Africa we usually finish about 2 o'clock, so I wouldn't worry about it. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. That's what you get if you bring an African missionary in. In fact, we may just stay all night. We'll see. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And he said, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lots." And cast lots. Here's Jesus, who left everything to redeem man. Do you think it wasn't humiliating for the God of the universe to hang naked upon a cross with a crown of thorns? And for people to mock him and say, if you are who you say you are, then come down, prove it. But instead of responding as we often do, and I have plenty of times, he bore the humiliation and he said, "Father, forgive them." I think there's somebody in this room this morning that's been humiliated at some point in your life, and you need to give that to God. You've been hanging on to it. I know it wasn't fair, but it wasn't fair for Jesus either when they hung him on a cross. The truth is if you and I can give our humiliation to him, we honor him in showing that we believe that he can help us to be like himself. often in this world, there's many offenses that come in this world, and it's very easy to hang on to those offenses that people have hurt us, offended us. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, all of us have been hurt at some point by somebody. We have to give it to God. Say, God, I'm yours. If you were okay with Jesus hanging on the cross, because that was for your plan for the redemption of man, Father, I have to be okay with suffering shame that you might be lifted up. I give it to you. Number four, in closing, we have to give him the next generation. We have to give God the next generation. God, I was telling somebody earlier this morning, I think a couple people, but God is moving in America to stir young hearts for missions. But one thing that will kill it is if parents won't give the next generation to God. Often I find young people who are excited and want to go on missions trips and be trained for missions. But often I find mom or dad that hinders them because they're afraid. They will often answer for the child, but I know it's not the child speaking because the child has never said it. They are excited about it, but mom will say, what about this? I don't think they can do this. Or dad will say, is it going to be safe? We have to give ourselves to God. Part of giving ourselves to God is giving him the next generation. Because that's part of us. That might be the hardest part to let go, is our children. A few months ago, a very tragic thing happened in my home church in Michigan. Some young people really hurting. God asked my wife and I to send our sons. One of them's 19, so we were kind of at that point in life for him, but our other son is 16. God asked us to send them away from us to be a part of helping other people. Many times we've had parents write us messages and speak to us and tell us what a help it's been for their young person to have our son in their school there. But you know, that's not easy for mama. It wasn't planned at 16 that her son would go off and live somewhere else. But we have to give what we have to God. For God gave us our sons. In fact, he took away one of our sons. They're all his. We have to give them ourselves. Sometimes giving ourselves is giving our children. Let me say this. Sometimes giving ourselves is giving our spouse. It may be that the problem in your marriage is that you haven't given your spouse to God. You are trying to force them to be what you want them to be or need them to be. You need to give them to God. God can do what no man can do. Father in heaven, we need you this morning. We are not capable of giving ourselves. But I'm asking, Father, this morning that those who would come down to the altar or even in their heart and would give their condition, their position, their humiliation, the next generation, their spouse to you, that you would accept their offering and that you would come and do in their heart what only you can do and release them and free them from that which holds them back. As they give themselves to you, Father, I ask that you would accept it and do with it what man cannot. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.